My guest at this time is Kathy Ruse. She is a senior legal fellow at the Family Research Council here in Washington. She joined us during the oral arguments on the case of Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Woods, at that time against Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Today, by a 5-4 decision, the justices of the Supreme Court ruled in the HHS mandate case, ruling that, in fact, closely held corporations cannot be forced by the government to provide contraceptives and abortifacients if it violates their religious conscience. The justices did point out that this is a fairly narrow decision, and it doesn't mean that you don't have to pay your taxes if you claim your faith suggests you shouldn't do that. Kathy was actually one of several speakers to respond to the decision on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court today, and here's a bit of what she had to say.
This is a great day for religious freedom. This is one of the most significant religious freedom victories from the court in a decade, frankly. And what the court said is that basically the Obama administration overreached again. This is a heavy hand of government, and the government went too far. It's a good day for freedom and a good day for freedom of conscience.
Kathy, I've heard a lot of folks who are pleased with this decision today say this is about a whole lot more than the morning after pill or contraception. There are some very basic constitutional principles here. Explain to me and our listeners why you believe this is such a critical decision.
The right to religious freedom and the right to conscientious objection is just one of those basic fundamental rights. It's in our Constitution. It is embraced heartily by Americans and has throughout the centuries. It is one of those freedoms where the individual gets to put his hand up and tell the government, no, you've gone too far, this far, and no further. In the case of the mandate, the government wanted to go much further than these family businesses were agreeing to. They have the right to say, look, this violates our religious freedom, and you cannot give us the choice to violate our freedom and comply with the law or abandon our religious freedom in order to follow the law. When the law gives you that choice, that is, there is no good answer to that dilemma. And so the Hahn family and the Green family both said, you've gone too far, you're overstepping, we have the right to religious freedom, and you've gone too far. And, you know, the court agreed. So the court didn't create a new principle here. It sure upheld and applied one of the most cherished principles that Americans own, and that is our right to conscience.
Kathy, one of the things that Justice Kennedy wrote in his concurring opinion is that businesses and certainly closely held companies, those leaders should not be forced to provide contraceptives or abortifacients or anything that violates their religious conscience. However, he did say that this opens the door for the government to do the same thing, which means taxpayers could still potentially be funding things that they disagree with on a conscience basis. So what do you make of that potential result of this?
We are forced to fund things through our taxes that we disagree with all the time. And that is, it's not good. It shouldn't be that way. But that is already in place. What I liked about that part of the opinion was that not only Justice Kennedy in his concurrence, but the majority justices in the main opinion gave as their first example the point that if the government wants to give out free contraceptives and abortifacients, and of course they didn't use the word abortifacients, but drugs that can interfere with the continuing life of a human embryo. That was something like the phraseology they used. If the government wants to give out these drugs for free, then they can pay for it. And I think that's a proposition that we can all really agree with. Now, of course, how do they pay for it? They pay for it through our tax dollars, and we don't like that part of it. But that is a far better scenario than conscripting unwilling family businesses, religious people that run these closely held businesses, and forcing them to purchase these drugs and devices under their insurance plan. So it's a much less invasive way. I mean, it's a far better result to make the government pay for it themselves. Look, they already pay for contraceptives and abortion-causing drugs in the tens of millions with our tax money all across this country in Title X clinics. All right? It's already happening. We don't love that, but it's happening. And so they already actually have quite an easy means to do it because they're already in the business. So why conscript these unwilling employers and make them pay for it out of their pockets when the government can really do it itself? So very good point that you brought up. I was actually pleased to see the court mention that.
We're talking with Kathy Ruse. She's a senior legal fellow at the Family Research Council. And in a statement from NARAL Pro-Choice America, which I'm sure you're not surprised to find out is not pleased with this decision, here's just a couple of sentences from their statement. They say, quote, "Today's decision from five male justices is a direct attack on women and our fundamental rights. This ruling goes out of its way to declare that discrimination against women is not discrimination. Allowing bosses this much control over the health care decisions of their employees is a slippery slope with no end. Every American could potentially be affected by this far-reaching and shocking decision that allows bosses to reach beyond the boardroom and into their employees' bedrooms." You had a very different reaction on the steps of the Supreme Court today, saying this was a great day for women. Here's that clip.
The political left likes to use the HHS mandate as a cynical war of words. They like to say, if you're for the mandate, you're for women. If you're against the mandate, you're against the women. I'm here as a woman to tell you some interesting facts about women and the mandate. Today is a day for women to celebrate.
So, Kathy, what do you have to say to NARAL's response, and why do you believe this is a great day for women?
Well, to NARAL, I would say stop being hysterical, but I don't have much hope that they will, because that is their modus operandi. I don't like to play identity politics, but sometimes you have to play defense identity politics. So I did a little research into this woman angle, and what I learned I thought was fascinating, and I tried to recount some of that today at the press conference. What I learned is that of all the plaintiffs that have filed lawsuits against the mandate, many, many, many of them are, in fact, women. Women who run nonprofits like Little Sisters of the Poor and others, but also business women who are part of small family businesses have filed suit to stop the mandate. In fact, one-third of all business plaintiffs who have filed suit against the mandate are, in fact, women. So this is a big win today for women in business and, you know, women job creators, another way to look at it. I also learned that of all the court cases, now, as I said, we have 100 lawsuits against the mandate all across the country, and these lawsuits have been percolating through the courts. So if you look at women judges as a measure and see what women judges think about the mandate, well, the vast majority of women judges don't like the mandate, and they voted against the mandate, 24 to 15, to be precise. Even when you add in the women from the high court from today's ruling, you still have an outsized anti-mandate view from women on the bench. And then finally, I mentioned public opinion polls. You know, what does the average woman believe about this HHS mandate? Well, surprisingly, even after 2 years of being assaulted by this war on women rhetoric, the average American woman doesn't like the mandate. In poll after poll, more women oppose the mandate than support it. So it is a good day for women. This is a good, good victory. I mean, one, if I have time to mention, one of the little-known incentives in the mandate is what I would call a perverse incentive, and that is an incentive that encourages employers to dump their employees into the Obamacare exchanges. The court did touch on this, and I was glad to see that. But so this mandate and its perverse incentive to dump employees into the exchanges is not good for women at all. It means that women would face losing their trusted doctor, their trusted medical specialist, their trusted pediatrician who's cared for their children all their lives. You know, that is not good for women. And not to mention the spike premiums and the sky-high deductibles that people are facing when they're forced into the exchanges. So none of that is good for women. And thank you to the Supreme Court for making sure that at least insofar as women employed by closely held businesses are concerned, we will not have to face those kinds of things from the mandate.
Kathy, we'll call it there. Thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Kathy Ruse is a senior legal fellow at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.